Zoe Ligon is a Detroit-based sex edutainer, content creator, and artist who is also the Zoe Ligon is a Detroit-based sex edutainer, content creator, and artist who is also the proprietor of Progressive Online Sex Tour Emporium, Spectrum Boutique, where she has made in her life's work to blast away the stigmas and misinformation that prevent us from having the amazing sex we all deserve. Zoe has a Bachelor's of Science in Psychology from Fordham University and has a background in inclusive, pleasure-focused sex education. Her book, Carnal Knowledge, is available wherever books are sold. Ladies, gentlemen, they, thems, nims, hims. I give you one of my best friends, Zoe Ligon. One, two, buckle my shoe. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. You got the intro, you got the vibes. Okay, my favorite question is actually my first question because I think it's really tricky sometimes for folks. And I think it's a simple question.
Okay.
Who are you?
Who am I? Different answer every day, right?
Yep.
I'm Zoe Ligon. Some people call me Thongria on the internet. I am the CEO founder of Spectrum Boutique, a online sex toy store based in Detroit. Author of Carnal Knowledge, which actually you helped me out with. You did like a copy edit towards the end there. I make adult content on OnlyFans. I used to call myself a journalist, but I think I'm like not a journalist anymore. I don't like to be a journalist.
Which is wild.
Embarking on an art journey of making a big structure made out of used and discarded sex toys and dildos. I guess I have to call myself an artist again.
Damn
it. Ew. No,
gotta put that back on there. Gotta put it back on there.
Yeah.
How did we meet? I want to hear your version of it.
I remember you got off the shuttle. So, okay. Well, it was Sex Geek Summer Camp. We were in West Virginia in the mountains, and I had driven to West Virginia from Detroit. So I got there like before most people. I didn't have to get picked up from the airport, but you did fly in, and you the first thing I remember about you is that you had lost your luggage, and everybody was being a real sport, lending you stuff. And I think we had probably, you know, I'd been like, oh God, like let me know if you need anything, but we didn't really chit chat, I think, until a couple days in. And I want to say it was like Mike and Cece and a bottle of wine at a picnic table. I think that's
yes. Oh my God, yes.
That's my first memory of you that wasn't just like, ooh, this person's dealing with some lost luggage. I'm gonna give them some space to sort that out. That was my first memory of you. So we met at that like wacky
the picnic table.
That wacky retreat in the woods. And I think we actually have had a very beautiful, gradually like growing over time relationship. Like I one thing I really value about our relationship is that it's kind of just grown and blossomed over time. I have a tendency to like sidle up to somebody and become their best friend. And then I'm like, oh my God, who is this person? Oh my God. So I think that you and I have a friendship that just really organically developed in a really special way over time. Yeah. And now it's been like 8 years I've known you.
That's so wild. Like it feels like yesterday being in those goddamn woods. Ooh, I wanted to go home. Fuck that place. What does trauma mean to you? Keeping it light in the beginning, you know?
Okay. Well, I think there's so many meanings. For me, I think these days I'm using it in a more and more It's the source of my funny bone.
Ooh, yeah.
It's funny because I was just watching this show, The Zen Diaries of Gary Shandling, who is a comedian who had a TV. It's basically just comedians being interviewed about another comedian. And with most comedians, there's a traumatic event that, is the source of their mystery and their despair and therefore their perspective on the world. But obviously that's not how everybody responds to trauma. I think for me, it's it makes the world just uncanny, and it is both an Achilles heel and a source of strength. So it's both, and it can very rapidly fluctuate between the two. And to this day, it holds surprises around every corner for me.
Just pops up. It's like, it's me. I'm sure this will come back up. The trauma will come back up. And we'll talk it's about not, the work because we're
Yeah, it's not the central focus. Oh, is it?
No. We're not gonna centrally focus on trauma today.
I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of not. Because I would.
No. I want people to know all the cool parts that I get to know. We'll get to the work and the adult industry and all this shit. But so there's something that I learned, I feel like, more recently about you. And I feel like with friendship, we continue to learn about each other. You started going back to Quaker meetings.
Yes.
And I've been so intrigued by this. Can you tell us about this? What can you share? I feel like most people don't know this about you.
Yeah, I've definitely always talked about it, but it's hard because anyone can really identify as a Quaker. You can be an atheist Quaker, you can be a Muslim Quaker, you can be a Jewish Quaker, although Quakerism itself is a splintering off of Christianity. I kind of describe it as atheists in the 1700s who wanted to be able to get away with their more free form of thinking, but were let's put it in a more digestible context for all the people around us here. I don't think not all Quakers would describe it that way, but for me, Quakerism has been atheistic in the sense that I'm not, God is not a, God is not as he is described in the Bible, although I think it is a beautiful allegory for life. And there's a lot of, you can really take the Bible to contort to whatever you want it to mean, really. Sure. You can sample any little phrase and make any point with the Bible. For me, Quakerism is not about Quaker oats. It's not being Amish.
Do people think that?
Well, no, they're just all I know is Quaker oats. Or they're just are you Amish? And I'm like, do I look Amish? I don't know. I guess you never judge a book by its cover. But for me, what it means is that you believe that the spirit of life, whatever gives us the consciousness, not our brain, not our heart, not our eyes, not the inner monologue even, but the thing that gives us a spark, the thing that differentiates me from you, from another person, we are all the stream of consciousness, that is God. And every single person has that within them. I don't call that God. I think that's just the easiest word that our society has, mm-hmm. But Quakers generally would say light, or a spirit or a presence. But for me, again, when people start talking about capital G God, I kind of start going into my own metaphor land personally. But then the other very strong part of it is to do no harm. And I think that is something that really has stayed with me my entire life, even though I went to Quaker school from first through eighth grade. And I really can't say that I had any desire to connect with my spirituality in my 20s. I was partying, maybe, yep, you know, like doing some shrooms and like, ooh, I'm spiritual. But I mean, in all honesty, it's definitely this most recent wave of the horrors of the wars in our world. And, you know, that mm-hmm. certainly includes Gaza, but, you know, things in Ukraine still continuing on, yada, yada. Quakers have always been very anti-war and very outspokenly, actively anti-war. And I think that I wanted to, it took me a little while sitting inwardly with myself to figure out how I wanted to handle all these feelings and current events and kind of like be a witness until of what was happening until I felt like I was moved to do something besides just be a witness and listen and to everybody. And I was like, you know, Quakerism has always been the place when I was younger that I, because I would have, you know, it would have been when George Bush was elected in the, you know, the 2000 election. Yeah, I think that was like maybe my first wave of like activism as a young person. And, you know, so it was like all done through my school, but I really liked my schools a lot in the sense that it definitely gave me a place to be the weird kid I was. And the only reason I'm not like completely a weirdo and I have like a lot of normie in me is because I did go to public high school. So I got a little, I'd be really like, I don't know what I'd be like if I hadn't had the public school experience. I needed to be bullied a little bit. No, I'm just kidding.
Pro-bullying, suddenly.
No.
No, I mean. We're not pro-bullying. We're not
pro-bullying. Just more of a taste of real life and not. No, I'm just kidding. I think a really big thing I learned from Quaker school was how to nonviolent communication, phrasing things. I mean, it's so simple, but I messages, saying how something makes you feel in order to communicate your needs to somebody. Instead of, I feel hurt when people blah, 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 instead of you have hurt me by blah, 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 blah. And sometimes you do need to say you have done X, Y, and Z. But in a lot of instances, especially I think when there's a miscommunication between two people and they both have a different read on who said what and who meant what, like in just like everyday disagreements with friend in friendships or whatever, I find it a lot more powerful to, you know, come from a place of what I'm feeling and what I'm saying to communicate my needs. And I mean, it depends on the context of the situation, but it coming from a place of speaking from your own truth instead of trying to tell somebody else what they're doing. Although sometimes that's pretty obvious. And I think it's hard. It's like, I think pacifism is a great idea, but it doesn't always, like, for me, pacifism isn't like, oh, you're going to be passive. I think it's what's the path that leads to the least harm and violence, because sometimes there's no way of avoiding that. I think it's just been
like there's a place for everything.
Yeah. I mean, like I think there's so many examples where like people have had to really resist and stand up in a way that wouldn't be considered peaceful. But I think it may have led to more ultimate peace in the long run. I don't know. This is all about, it's kind of like just meditating on stuff. I think that a Quaker meeting, which is generally 45 minutes to an hour, kind of just like sitting in a waiting room. And most of the time your brain is like, just like with meditation, not thinking about productive things. You're like, what am I going to do later today? What did I do yesterday? And then those moments where you have like a clarity or some insight, those are, you know, even if it's just like 5 seconds in the span of an hour, I think that's like what prayer, quote unquote, is to me. But it's, again, it's like hard to talk about because like I don't like using the word prayer. And like the vast majority of Christians are completely the opposite of, you know, they're kind of actually like working against all the things I believe in. So I like to, it's hard to talk about because I don't want people to think that I'm like all of a sudden like trad core Zoe, like, yeah, God. Like it's a little bit more vague, yeah, and open-ended than that. And
it feels like there's a lot more like nuance that people just maybe don't understand.
Yeah. I think if you believe in doing no harm, then you are welcome in a Quaker's. Like the sign outside of meeting houses, at least at mine, says all are welcome. So it doesn't really like it. And I know most places of worship say that, but I really.
You're like, we mean it.
Yeah. And I don't know. People will curse when they're talking and meeting all the time. If you're really just silent for 45 minutes, and then if you feel compelled or, you know, you believe that the spirit has spoken to you. That's another thing too, is like a lot of people who are Quakers are like former Catholics or people who were raised in a more conservative form of religion and find aspects of terms comforting to them, but they have largely abandoned it. And I think I'm kind of coming from the other end where I was like angry atheist arguing in my Jesuit university philosophy class about how God isn't real. So I think I kind of came from the other end where I was like,
yeah. I love this. Well, yeah. I think this is so beautiful. I am somebody that like believes in like find something that works for you. Like if that shit works for you and it brings you peace and it makes you happy and you're not hurting people, why not?
Yeah,
totally. Why not? Which brings me to the Juggalos.
I love this. Yes.
You knew this was coming because we have conversations about this. How, when, where, the W's. Who, what, when, where, why. How did we get there?
When did I become? I think I became a genuine Juggalo. Sorry to any Juggalo listening. real Juff hours. A Juff is a poser, fake Juggalo. I became a genuine Juggalo. I did it again. Okay.
You're taking your car.
2018, 2019. Is when it became not just like, oh, these silly characters. Ha ha, tee hee. I think it would have been when like Saturday Night Live did the parody video of Miracles, which could not be a less representative song, or actually in some ways it is, of Insane Clown Posse. But I definitely, as a teenager, was like, this is so silly and weird and these people are crazy. Like, you know, there was just like, friends of mine would be like, yeah, like my sister like left home and went to the Midwest to become a Juggalo. And I'd be like, ooh, who would do that? but I think that the best way to understand Insane Clown Posse is through seeing them as professional wrestler personas. Even though that is certainly more your world than mine, and you actually are pretty much the only reason I know anything about professional wrestling outside of Juggalo-specific wrestling stuff. But it's all this kind of caricature and a extreme persona doing... It's like, let's embody all the fucked up things with society and create this fictional outlet for all these things that are ugly within ourselves and within the world. And let's have this outlet and mock it and be like clowns about it. And you're not supposed to be taking this literally. If you do, then, you know, like... I mean, that's where it gets, that's where, I mean, a lot of juggalos would answer that question differently too. I think that there's definitely some juggalos where I'm like, please stay the fuck away from me. And then there's a lot of, and then there's a lot of juggalos where I'm like, wow, like, not to be cheesy, but it's like, yeah, there is a family element amongst some juggalos. I think there is a sense of siblinghood for sure. And for me, I think that it was in 2018 or 2019, I was like, I've been fascinated with juggalo culture my entire adult life, but I haven't listened to the music. And this sounds so cheesy, but I listened to the music and like, is most of it bad? Absolutely. But it's also kind of like poetry and performance art. And it just really tickles my funny bone. It's the exact opposite in many ways of like what being a Quaker is, but I would argue it is in alignment in the sense that I don't think that like the average juggalo that I'm friends with is taking anything seriously in the lyrics. It's not actually about violence. It's not about, you know, like very graphic descriptions of murder, essentially, like very fucked up things. They talk about rape. They talk about lots of terrible things. But I think it's seen as, in the same way that a horror movie is, mm-hmm. or perhaps even a very kinky fantasy, it is the idea of something that is releasing an energy and kind of like helping in this very manufactured, weird digital society. I think it's like it's a pressure release valve, and it is a way of expressing yourself and testing limits in a way where nobody's getting hurt. Again, you know, there's a lot of people who take things too far, and that's where like, yes, I've seen, you know, like I've seen a lot of weird fucking shit at juggalo gatherings. Do not get me wrong. Like, there is a rowdy energy for sure. But I think at the end of the day, it's about enjoying life, but also loving each other. And I can totally give you like a bibliography of articles and songs that support this. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, it's performance art and music, and not. And I think a lot of the current online discourse I see, but especially between older and younger juggalos, is, I can't believe that they said these things in songs. This is such a horrific thing to say. And it's like, yeah, that's a thing that like made my jaw drop when I heard them, certain things being said initially, perhaps.
Yeah.
And do I agree with everything? Absolutely not. You know, there's nuance here, but for me, I think there's a deeper meaning in the sense that it's like, yeah, caricature, exaggeration, and it's just also just like a very creative and innovative, they're very creative and innovative business people. They're incredibly smart business people, but they've also done a lot of dumb
wrestling things. Company, or do they just wrestle?
Juggalo Championship Wrestling, but Violent J and Shaggy did definitely want to be professional wrestlers more so than rappers, and rapping was just the way to get the wrestling career.
You know, yeah, we all find our way, don't we?
Yeah. But having said that, like, again, I mean, like, I do not support everything they've said and done by any means, so
put that in big letters. You know what I love about you is you are in so many different areas of like, and we'll get into the adult industry next, but like, for people that don't know you, let's just get this question out of the way, and I think I'll just give this opinion. I think for people that don't know you, they see you and they're like, oh my god, she's crazy and she's wild and all these things. I think from an outside perspective, but like someone that knows you, I'm like, we like to sit around and do nothing.
Yeah, I'm a homebody, or especially these days.
Like, but our favorite time is sitting.
Absolutely. Watching movies, smoking a J. I honestly spend a lot of my time right here at this computer. I don't know, though. I guess I am wild and crazy in my own way. I definitely, I think we're all that way, though. I think we all have so many things about us that are just ordinary and like anybody else, and the things that make us outliers from others, perhaps. And that's kind of the fun part about finding people who have the outlying attributes in common with you. And that's...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful that I have found the other weirdos out there that are similar to my weird. That's part of the game, right? Like finding your people. Speaking of finding things, how did you find the adult industry? Look at these transitions. I'm getting better when I'm elevated.
Speaking of finding things, that's funny because I feel like I kind of just like slowly waded into it. I was basically posting images that were as nude as humanly possible on the internet without actually, you know, quote unquote, breaking the rules. So I would be taking explicit images and putting like an emoji or a GIF over my private parts or whatever. I've also made art out of porn, collages since I was 18, basically. That was probably the first thing I did to like express myself artistically. And I think it just got to a point where I was like, I am basically doing stuff that I could be monetizing, but I'm not monetizing it. I'm just putting it out on social media in a both funny way. Like I'm trying to be funny, but I'm also trying to be sexy. And I was kind of just like, let me put that behind a paywall. So I've been doing OnlyFans since 2019, and I've probably 2020 is probably when I started doing more like masturbation specific videos instead of just nudes. And now I do videos with my partner and my OnlyFans, and it's very fun.
Shout out to him.
And it's really just kind of like, I don't know. It's like, what would I send to somebody I'm fucking? I try to like just be myself. And of course there is a layer. There's absolutely performance layer, but a lot of the times I'm just kind of like, here's a picture where my boobs look good, or like, here's me after the gym. Here's, you know, I try to be a little bit cheeky and funny there too, because I think that is what people like about me, that it's not entirely serious. But I'm kind of just throwing up whatever stuff comes to mind and speaks to me that would not fly on any other platform, essentially.
Are Zoe and Thongria the same person?
I mean, yes and no. Thongria is just like my username. It's funny because I think there was a time where people didn't know my name and they just knew me as Thongria. So I was like, oh, hey, I'm Zoe if I met somebody. And then this most recent time in New York when I was doing some like toy sale vending events for Valentine's Day, I would be like, oh, I'm Zoe. People would be like, yeah, we know. And I was like, oh, okay. I love that. So yes, I mean, I think Thongria and Zoe are the same person in as much as anybody is and isn't the person they portray themselves to be online. Thongria just happens to be the username I was using when I went viral for the first time, which is why it has stuck around. It is not at any deep. It's not any deeper than that. I went viral for writing a Tumblr post that then got picked up by other news outlets in quotes at the time. It was called "I've had sex with 99 men and I'm looking for number 100." And I think I was
spice.
I was 22 when I wrote that, 22 or 23. It was only up until recently, too, I'd get people being like, can I be number 100? It's like, that was a decade ago, but all right.
You're like, you think I haven't had that already? That's wild.
Actually, I had already fucked more than 100 people at that time. And it
was surprise, surprise.
And it was unintentional clickbait. Like, I was not intending for it to be seen publicly. I mean, I knew it was being posted publicly, but I was literally posting. I was posting on Tumblr, and Tumblr in 2015, you know, probably like the last era of when it was like Tumblr. So it was really just supposed to be like a snarky joke of like, oh, who wants to be, you know, it was kind of just like putting everything out on display for people to learn from, but more so make fun of. I think I did a lot of intentional, like I would call, you know, we call it cringe now or whatever, but I think a lot of it was like, I know I'm going to get a negative reaction from this, but it's also going to get a lot of people thinking about something. So I will take one for the team in the sense of like, who cares what secrets of mine I'm exposing if it's getting people to reconsider their relationship with sex and their bodies. It was kind of like, I don't know how intentional I was being about that at the time, but that's what it was.
You're like, now this is the intention. You're welcome.
I had a different relationship with the internet. I was letting it all hang out a lot more back then.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about her, you found any trauma there?
Oh, a ton. And I believe I've talked to you about it a lot.
the trauma of the goddamn internet. Like, we're going to talk about Spectrum as well, but like, you have like this presence on the internet, which, you know, as the presence and the person that you are, people just feel like they should just tell you all their things, show you all their things, tell you their feelings, tell you how you should feel. Like, it looks fucking awful sometimes.
I'm sure you know. I think you definitely know. And anybody who has, it doesn't matter if you have like 14 followers, like, just like everybody's doing a little bit of a performance online, even if it's just for their friends and family, I think everybody has had a taste of what it's like to have unsolicited opinions or have your words taken out of context and not have an ability to really like have your voice be heard in what you're trying to say. Yeah, I can think of so many instances. I'm like, where do I begin? There was a lot of times when I was, you know, talking about body positivity stuff that really landed terribly. And, you know, I see why it did, but I also like think my heart was really coming from a positive place. Specifically thinking about how people used to think I was pregnant when I was younger because my stomach was just large. I have a large, you know, it's where my weight is carried, also in my butt.
It do be in them cheeks.
But I think I just made a post being like, part of the reason I left New York City in 2014 was because at that time I was like being harassed on the street so much, you know, in positive ways, but also in negative ways. And people, you know, both sincerely and not sincerely being like, congrats on your baby. Stuff like that. So I think I believe I made a post just being like, I know this is what I'm working with, but like, it really hurt me. Like, please don't assume people are pregnant unless they're explicitly telling you they're pregnant. And that, and you know, of course that I understand why it wasn't like, you know, thin late white lady talking about bodies, you know, whatever.
I also think it's a real fucking statement and like a real experience.
Totally. But I also see why it wasn't received well. And I also think that like there was a takeaway from that for me for sure. Mm-hmm. But like, I think I spent that whole day in bed crying and just being like, oh my God. I mean, the only times I've ever wanted to kill myself was when mm-hmm. I was being harassed online by somebody, whether it be a specific individual or I've never had anything like catastrophic happen, but just when you have a lot of little voices,
they add up.
Yeah. Yeah. And I you know, it was never more than like an ideation thing, but it's the kind of thing where it's like, we're all so stuck in social media and our phones. And if anything, I'm just trying to actively spend less and less time on it. And it becomes your world. And so when that world is bad, why would real life be any different? You know, it becomes real life and it's not. But I'll never forget like times I was on the couch being like, this is the end. I can't do this anymore. And my partner being like, hello, are any of these people in the room with you right now? No.
But it's real though. Yeah. Have you ever been doxxed? I don't know if I know this or not.
Yes and no. My old phone number was, I mean, like it's pretty... Here's the thing I've learned. No matter how hard you try to conceal your information, it's very easy to find. I've never had anybody, you know, knock on wood or whatever. I feel very, right now, confident and secure with face-to-face interactions with people. I find that the things people will say to you online are far nastier and more cutting than what they will do in person. And the people who have more so hurt me in real life are people who were once close to me in real life. For strangers, it mostly happens online. So no, I have not been doxxed.
Let me knock on one too.
Yeah. I definitely try to keep things pretty private, but I think in this day and age, the morbid reality is that everybody is very easily found.
It's just so wild.
Yeah.
It's so fucking wild. You do so many things and I'm always in awe of you. I've always been in awe of you. When we met and you were really like working on Spectrum and like... Mm-hmm. Laying her out. Tell us about Spectrum Boutique, where she came from, where's the name from, why did you want to sling dildos?
Okay, well, the name, that's an easy one to start with. That it's, you know, obviously there's so many, I mean, people, like sometimes I'm joking, like, yeah, it's like the cable company, because, you know, it's like the biggest internet provider in the world. And I'm like, yeah, I really picked a great name, or like the vitamin company, or like, you know, the autism spectrum. There's so many like things that word means. What it means in the context of my business is just that everything in life and in sexuality is on a spectrum. You know, gender, sexuality itself. You know, what asexuality and sexuality spectrum, kink, so many things like that. I think just like, not dichotomy is what it means to me, as far as like, it's not this or this. There's a whole array of things. And a lot of that is what you choose and also just how you are. But like you get to pick how you express yourself in those in between states of, I think with kink, especially, you know, power exchange and sensation exchange. I think especially like on the internet, everyone's like, there's tops and there's bottoms. And I'm like, oh my God.
Because they all watch 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, but even y'all, still, I'm just like,
there's more information than that.
No, and obviously, if those words resonate for you, I am not poo-pooing that by any means. There are many of us who do exist at one end or the other of the spectrum, but that's what it is. It's like there's all these different ways of being, and then there's some, you know, polar ends of it, but there isn't just this or that. So that's where the name came from. That was a long explanation.
I love it though.
But I've had people, yeah, any of those things I've said previously, people are like, wait, is it cable company? You got terrible reviews.
Yes, you're like, absolutely, yes. Like, that's no. What I want my dildos to be. Yep.
But I sell sex toys because it's really the only career I've ever had. And what got me writing was selling sex toys. The order of events was I started making art with porn. Then I started working at a sex toy store, like a brick and mortar selling toys. All the conversations I had led to me writing, and the writing led to me having a large enough audience to then have my own retail store. Now, none of this would have been possible, and I've talked about this quite candidly in the past, but my dad died right around that moment in time when I was between jobs and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. I don't think that it wouldn't have happened if he hadn't passed away, but the reality is that I inherited money from my dad when he died. And there was also a lot of trauma there in the death itself and in my relationship with him. That's 10 years ago now, though. So it really just kind of, the reason I like to talk about it is because if you do get a loan for a sex-oriented business, you're paying very high interest rates. It's not usually a very good deal, or you're having to borrow money. Yeah, you've got to have an investor that you have to answer to. And having this sudden, you know, at the age of 22, suddenly receiving money from my dad, and, you know, not enough to, you know, live happily ever after, but enough to create something that could help me live happily ever after, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I basically was like, I need this to last the rest of my life by creating a career for myself. And that was at the time, and I think I would have
invested in you.
Yeah, exactly. So I bought this house that I'm in, speaking to you from, in Detroit, and I put up cash to essentially like start the website, spectrumboutique.com. And, you know, thankfully websites are not as expensive as a physical space. I didn't have to, you know, design, interior design it, but I did have to design the website stuff. But that is how I am a business owner at such a young age. And still to this day, I am now 31. You know, I'm one of the younger people still to this day when I go to events, but it's really, yeah, it was a very fucked up blessing to have that happen. Sure. But I also, I feel like I am a person who had a very strange set of life circumstances before then as well. But as I'm sure many of us listening here are aware, you know, trauma will age you. So I feel that period of time in creating Spectrum, and for the record, it was not profitable for the first couple of years. It was, you know, like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah,
it was, I learned so many things about life through running a business and being kind of laying myself out, exposing myself online in vulnerable ways with the intention that I would get people thinking and maybe buying a sex toy one day. I think if anything, I've really slowed life down because life was in overdrive for so long. And now I'm like, let's read a book and go in the sauna and call up my friends and have a phone conversation and not go out to the club 5 nights a week.
Oh, the club.
Yeah.
Can't do the club. Thinking about the club makes me sleepy.
Me too.
Like, I'm like, ooh, nap time. Do you think you sacrificed anything while creating Spectrum or like getting to where you are right now?
I'm of course, I think that everything that requires a lot of energy is sacrificing energy that can be spent in other areas. I feel very thankful that my partner is the cheerleader for everything I do. And I think that with a lot of the things I do, I am such an independent person. And it's not that I can't collaborate, but I am very comfortable working on my own. And I think that that can be really further isolating than just being independent. But sacrifice, I don't know. I guess a sacrifice would also mean that for me, a sacrifice would mean that I was putting aside other things I really wanted in order to have this. I guess, but I really think that even when I am having my ugliest days, I would not trade it for anything. But having said that, there are definitely times where I'm like, I wish that I had a boss that I were. This sounds weird, I know. But I'm like, I'm like, I wish I had a boss telling me what to do, because then I could just
wish that too.
Because it's like, you know what? You know what I miss is, and it's been 10 years basically since I've experienced this, but it's like you leave work at work, you go home and you're at home. I am never.
Everything's not on you.
I am always at work. I work from home. I do have a studio space that I'm about to start renting in the next month. So I'm very excited to have like a location to go and hopefully leave work at work. But I think so much of it is just, again, you know, not to call back to Insane Clown Posse, but it's a caricature. It's an exaggeration of what's going on in my brain and my head. Like this morning I woke up and I was like, I'm going to tie dildos to my arms and put it over a Creed song and it's going to be a reel. And then most days I wake up and I have nothing in my head. And today, you know, I just woke up with an idea or whatever. I'm really getting off track with your question, which was about sacrifice.
No, it's fine.
So
it's fine. yes, what do you think you've learned about yourself and about business over these last few years?
I've definitely learned how to communicate better, because at the end of the day, I think being a good leader is about communicating and helping others communicate well and helping other people feel comfortable being their own leader. I don't know. That sounds really stock cheesy. I don't know. I think, let me rephrase that. I think I'm very, I've learned the ways in which I am a difficult person. And I think that it's taught me how stubborn I am and how, I like to do things really like quick and fast at the, and do not that I don't care about quality, but I am not a perfectionist. I will not read the directions and just do something to get it done. And then at the cost of missing a very obvious step I should have taken before even getting started. So I think I've really learned how to more actively confront problems and conflict. And a lot of that has also been with the help of knowing you. I think that you are a person who's taught me about no's and boundaries.
Love no.
You know, it's an everlasting struggle to, you know, really perfectly know what your boundaries are and set them. But I think that, I care so deeply about the business and everybody who has worked with me and collaborated with me, past, present, future. So having people who I really trust that I work with, who can also give me feedback that I don't know. I think it's like just a very earnest space, because what do I have to lose by lying to myself or being lied to about what's going on? It's like, if something's going wrong and I'm doing something wrong, I want to be told. And I think before I had a business, I was definitely maybe a little bit more in denial about my own flaws or the things about me that were a bit antisocial that I would have to get over.
That's fair. That's fair. I think that's really comes with age though, right? Like, yeah, as we continue to like, you know, I always talk about, and I've been talking about this all fucking week, and I think I need to look at some more of my fucks I need to lose. I've been talking about losing fucks.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen you lose more over the years. Like, you've gotten more comfortable and like, no, this is me. And like, this feels good for me. Because people try to throw fucks at you all the time. How do you manage our good girlfriend mental health? with laughter. But like, yes, through it all, right? Like, you've had the people in your DMs, like shitty people, like your own life, right? Like, you are more than just a Quaker. You are more than just a juggalette. You are more than just someone in the industry. Like, you're a whole fucking person. Like, how do you manage all of that?
Yeah, I was also just thinking how...
Still laughing? But...
I was thinking about how even just the fact that I'm talking about being a juggalo, I think it, like, a couple of years ago, I would have been really uncomfortable talking about it because I would have been like, somebody's going to not understand where I'm coming from here because, what, you know, whatever. And same with, like, OnlyFans, same with, I don't know, again, same with Quakerism. I'm like, no, people are going to think I'm, like, born again for Jesus. You know, maybe I am. No.
Surprise.
How do I handle mental health? Yoga. I know that's a very stereotypical answer, but I would say Quaker Meeting has kind of like doubled down on the stillness of yoga and like the mind quietness of yoga. But truthfully, I've eaten my feelings. I've taken solace in food, and that not in a good way, for mental health stuff. I've taken solace in reckless sexual behavior to quell my inner brain issues. I've thrown tantrums and thrown things and been, you know, a little baby about it. And those are the bad ways in which I've dealt with my mental health.
Here's the list.
The good ways. I've been in therapy since I was a child, and Prozac has really helped me be a stable person who doesn't have panic attacks or just act completely inappropriately. hiking and walking and riding my bike, being active, and horror movies, again, similarly, it's like, for some reason, it is the most, I was laughing my ass off because the other night it was the 3-year anniversary of my horror movie Discord, and we were playing only the third installments in movie franchises. So, you know, like Scream 3, Hostel 3, Leprechaun 3, like they're all very bad movies.
Love a theme. They are.
But it was like a Saturday night, and I, you know, we're watching some stupid schlocky movie, and I'm like, oh, kill him, you know? And then I'm like, you know, in the context of the movie. And then I'm waking up the next morning for like, Quaker Meeting on Sunday morning. And I was just like, this is so funny. But to me, it makes perfect sense. But I think that's a good example of the outlet, because I'm like, do I actually like ever desire for any living being to die? Obviously not. And if you think otherwise, like, you're projecting onto me. But then again, it's like, you know, it isn't all just silence and peace all the time. It's that pressure release valve on that Instant Pot popping off, you know? So I think having a duality of like serious internal reflective moments that are very emotional and vulnerable, and pairing that with more lighthearted fiction fantasy that lets that I'm not, you know, again, I said I used to really like to throw stuff, and I think people are like shocked to hear like that I have ever had an issue with anger in my life. And while I don't have anger problems, you know, diagnosably, my father really did. And I picked up a lot of those behaviors, and learning to control that anger and find constructive outlets for it has been really difficult. And, you know, not to say that there aren't times where I do something that I'm like, that was so stupid. I just threw and broke this thing that means a lot to me because of what I was having an emotion. Like, you know, that's what horror movies are for, is letting out the part of me that wants to like throw my keys at a window. I haven't actually done that, but
But the, you know, it's an option. I don't know. It's an option. I mean, it'd be real hard to find. You see how they always throw the keys in the scary movies? You're like, fuck.
Yeah. Don't. Yeah. What did I break recently? Not recently. I don't know.
I was like, is it still over there?
No, I was just, you know, looking out the window wistfully. No, I mean, like, I'm definitely a pillow puncher, a pillow screamer. Like, I'll just be like, ah! It helps a lot.
Yeah.
But I think that therapy, some semblance of faith and spirituality and physical exercise are my mental health cornerstones. But I can't.
Have you ever done somatic therapy?
What is that?
Or is it always talk therapy?
It's talk therapy. But I have also done body work stuff. I also, I grew up with acupuncture as well. I know that's not exactly somatic body work, but I've definitely like tried a lot of alternative, quote unquote, alternative therapies.
We love a woo. What's you're yeah. like, what else is out there? Tell me. Eastern culture, teach us.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it is the oddest things that will help us. And I think that's what is great about this big wide world we live in, is that the same thing isn't like, you know, you might be listening to me talk about scary movies and be like, oh yeah, that really resonates for me. And other people might be like, that would stress me out and freak me out. None of us are the same. And what we need to find that inner peace. And I'm certainly, you know, going to spend my whole life working on getting closer and closer to it, and will probably never arrive at inner peace until I die. And that's okay. I accept that.
Some people should really just accept it. It just is what it is. You know, sometimes we got to stop fighting the feeling and just let it be. What brings you joy these days?
Ooh. My dog, Randy.
That is a mini pony.
He is things. A little horse, little pony boy. No, he is a 65-pound pit bull German short hair pointer mix, who's a rescue. So he is also, we are working through his trauma all the time. No, actually, you know what? I was being like silly, but this actually ties into the anger stuff really well, because if I raise my voice even the littlest bit, he's like, what are you doing?
He's on edge.
Yeah, or like even if I'm arguing with my partner and it's not particularly heated, but we're just like, oh, I thought you were going to blah, 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 you know, he's like.
He's like a little trauma alarm.
Yes, it's like a thermometer for the environment, because he's at the end of the day just picking up on whatever vibes we're putting out in the house.
Yeah.
And if my vibes are bad, he lets me know right away. And
he's like, mom.
Well, and I also have had this feeling too of like, I don't know whether I'll have kids or not, but like, I remember being around my dad and just being like, you know, you're scaring the shit out of me. And you don't even know, you don't even like realize that you're having this like asthma attack of anger. And having a dog, and, you know, I certainly never want to be acting in any way that's angry or violent, but you know, anger happens. And I think that it's been a valid
emotion.
It's been a very, it's been like a mirror of like, oh my God, I'm acting just like my father. Or like watching my dog be, and again, I'm talking about this. This is, you know, not like a everyday thing by any means, but
sure.
Those moments.
It's
when,
a realistic life thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it really gave me a lot of lessons in the sense that like a recent realization I had was like, how can I be wallowing and upset with how I was treated by my father when I am exhibiting the exact same temper control issues to my loved ones around me? You know, how can I be, I mean, it can be both, but it made me have this realization of like, oh, I'm acting the same way that really frightened me, even if it's 1/10 of the extent of what he did. I am like, whoa, I have this direct meter that tells me, in the form of my dog child, who tells me, like, you're being weird right now. And I think it's also really helped me just be more, like, present in the moment, because a dog is just always, you know, a dog doesn't have a cell phone. A dog is just chilling on the couch, sniffing stuff. I'm like, I need to be a dog, chilling, sniffing stuff.
They just nap all day and get rubbed on. I too like to get rubbed on and take naps. Feed me.
Yeah. So he brings me joy, and also just like, you know, it's very much like my partner and my dog and I are my little family unit. And I obviously have family, you know, other family as well. But as far as sure. they're my little nuclear family in my house.
That's cute. I think I would miss out if we did not briefly check in around something that we share that we love together. Love Island.
Ah! Okay. Although,
you didn't know what I was gonna say.
Although I will tell it. You, All Stars, really.
I didn't watch it.
Boring.
I didn't watch it. Listen.
Everyone knew each other.
Like, we did it. Yeah.
Everyone was being too polite. See, that's where I'm
like. They knew. They don't want to fuck their deals up.
I need Fashion Nova.
Not me, guys. I'm back. Do you need me next season? Australia, US, where do you need me? I'm available.
Although I think I've also told you that while Love Island is not actively playing, or at least like a typical season isn't playing, I've gone really deeply into Bad Girls Club, which is also a really beautiful anger outlet as well.
What season are you on?
I'm just wrapping up season 5. And I saw it growing up. Like, I definitely saw Natalie's season, which I think is 4. I think I saw like seasons 3, 4, 5 when I was in high school. So, but, that's another thing that I'm sometimes watching, and same with Love Island, where I'm like, the cognitive dissonance of knowing how stressful it is for these, you know, usually ordinary people to have young people to have these eyes on them. It's pretty fucked up.
Absolutely.
And then why am I getting entertainment out of it? But then also, you know, you zoom in out, it's like, these are people who are signing up to be that clown, that provides you entertainment. And anyway, I'm getting too deep about it. You talk about it.
No, because I'm about to get deep too, because sometimes I will watch the show and I'll be watching it with my roommate, which we now have a group chat. I'll be watching it. And I'll look over at her and I'm like, this is crazy. We are literally watching these random people try to navigate relationships in real time, because we watch it in real time.
It's
we watch the Stanford
prison experiment.
Yes. Because day 2, they're like, I'm in love with you. You're not, we've been in love for forever. And it's like, girl, we just met. What's your name? It's so interesting. And of course I watch everything through like a psych brain, because I don't know how to not.
Yeah.
And it really is like, you see how people adapt in situations. You see how people are growing. You see how people are struggling. Yeah. Right. Like, there's some cases and I'm like, that they need a mental health support. Like, that something's going on there.
I really do hope that reality TV as a, you know, genre figures that out sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. I think they should, for sure. I've, you know, being in LA, I'm like, you have to work on reality TV at some point. So I did. I did casting, and I've done like, which is the time. I did casting and I did like working with talent. Like, I was like a human usher. Like, I was like,
yes.
And it's really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad because, again, it's a lot of these young individuals that are like, maybe they are trying to find love, or they're just trying to find this idea of celebrity and getting, you know, endorsements and shit. And then you have the other side of shows, like the Love is Blind.
Oh, I'm like on episode 3 of the current season.
Great.
I'll circle back with you on that.
But I'm just saying, like, Love is Blind in general is like a new experience of like, you really are just going off, as the kids say, vibes, just off vibes, vibes and hopes and dreams, right?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know. It's like you and I both know, we've never been the main characters on a reality TV show, but, you know, maybe one day. But you and I both know, like, what that feels like, you know, me crying on the couch or, like, you're putting things out on the internet every day right now. I think it's also, like, you and I both know how it feels to be having, like, a little bit of that experience, too. And
I wish people didn't know my name some days.
Yeah.
The truth is loud. Sometimes I'd be like, I wish people would forget me for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I'd be needed for 24 hours. And I think that that's a real thing that people don't talk about as people that are exposed on the internet. Like, this is so great. Can I have a break, please?
I will say also, like, one of my favorite things about our friendship is that the way we communicate, you know, maybe there's like a month where we don't really, like, we're not FaceTiming, but then there'll be like a couple weeks where we're just like sending a zillion voice notes to each other. And you and I are very much on, like, we have a friendship where we're kind of just like on the same page where it's like, you're busy, I'm busy. If your text goes left on read, nobody's taking it personally. And I think that, like, I think that you and I have similar ways of communicating, and has been another reason I really appreciated our friendship is that it's, you know, it's never taken personally when it's like, I'm going to be alone in depth for a little while. Don't talk to me.
I'm like, just let me know you're alive. All right.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There. Signs of life. Do your thing. Yes. Yes. Do your
thing. Yes. What reality show would you say yes to?
Naked and Afraid.
Oh, we've thought about this. That was
great. Yeah, of course. I mean, I would be miserable.
You know what? I'm not surprised.
I'd be miserable. It would be like, I would be, there'd be just like a gold mine of embarrassing and stupid stuff that I do on camera.
I don't think I have the survival skills.
I don't think I do either yet.
I do want to go to some trainings.
I think my mental resolve would get me through. The worst part of
the bugs.
That's just what I was gonna say, is the bugs would be the worst part. But, you know, it's like I'd lose my mind 30 days with one random dude, I guess.
I forget that part.
Yeah, and you're naked. So you just get to maybe sometimes the bug bites are on your, you know, crotch. And
they are.
Yeah.
I did a deep dive on Naked and Afraid. Like, I have a Naked and Afraid jacket. I just took it off. It's in the washer.
That's ironic. Yes.
It is. But, like, I did a deep dive because some people are like, are they having sex? They are like, absolutely not. We are disgusting. We are covered in bug bites. We are near each other for warmth, maybe.
Yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely. What reality show would you be on?
You know, I've been thinking about this because it's me. I would not do our favorite. I would not do Love Island. One, I'm too old and I have too much common sense. I also don't like this group room sleeping thing.
No.
Too many people. I don't like this sleepover thing. I think if Love is Blind, and I'm going to say this and I don't give a fuck, if Love is Blind wasn't created by a shitty company that treated people awfully, because you do, and we know it, Kinetics.
Oh, whatever. See, you know all the, like, background stuff that I mean, ignorance is bliss in the Midwest.
A lot of individuals have come forward with the harm that has been caused. There's articles
I need
about
to read up on this. Yes. No, I don't think you are.
Yeah, but, like, if not, I kind of like the idea of just, like, sitting and talking and playing this game of, like, build up. Now, here's where I think we all know me, I might be fucked. When there's that unveiling, and if the vibes, you're like, oh. I'm not saying I'm shallow, but I'm saying, you know, we all have levels.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so much chemistry in person.
Sure.
And yeah, it's not even physical, whatever. I don't even think that has to do with how somebody, I don't think I could look at anybody for a first glance and know anything about how I feel about them. I would have to spend like at least an hour talking to them in person to know if I found them, that there was physical chemistry. That's the thing too. I like Love is Blind because I'm like, I know 100% I would pick my partner in a pod because like, I don't know. I'm just like, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I would pick this person. It, like, even if we had a wall between us kind of thing. So I think it's like fun in that way. But you know what I meant to say earlier, just about all these shows is like, we all have our times that we struggle with our social skills. And again, I went to very small private schools most of my life. I was an only child. I was very isolated in a lot of ways. And by no means can you learn life things from reality TV, just like you can't learn about sex from porn, really. But you do see these moments where you're like, oh, this person lying led to this. And like, is it produced? Obviously. I know.
Curated as fuck.
Yes. But sure. I do think there are some takeaways where you see like the fourth wall drops and you're like, oh, this person like said this with this tone of voice and this person took it this way. Like it helps me be like, oh, like this, it sounds so silly because it's not like it helps me develop communication skills, but I feel like it helps me understand how things can escalate in conflict, even if it's, again, fabricated. And please don't think I'm taking this as like a psychology degree, but
no, I think it's real though, right? Like there's a level of reality TV that is not my level of comfort, of vulnerability, which might be really surprising for people. As I talk about trauma and my assault all day and like my dad dying and my mom being murdered on the internet all the time. But that, oh no. No. It's like a different level of vulnerability that I'm like, I just don't think that's my jam. Like I grew up a real world kid. Ugh. Till they started doing weird shit in the 2000s. But like I was like, oh, I'm going on real world. And then I was like, oh, your parents can see you having sex and things. No, yeah. I think I'm okay. Once I started having sex, I was like, I don't think I should do that. That doesn't seem like for me anymore.
Okay. Oh yeah.
This is so fun.
I do too. And I just am really glad that I know you and you talk about things in the way you do. I've learned so much from you, even when you're not, you know, coming from wearing a teacher hat by any means, but just you being you. And I've always really appreciated how you have conversations and talk about trauma, you know, beyond just the basics. And
I appreciate you appreciating me.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yes.
See, like, we're receiving each other. So we have one last question on this show, and it's truly because I'm nosy.
Okay.
What is the wildest thing that someone has texted or DM'd you in the last 2 weeks?
Let me look. Make sure it doesn't interrupt my audio recording. Okay, now we're good. We can go to screenshot folder.
We've already screenshot. What's in there?
Screenshots.
I love that you have a screenshot folder to be like, let's see what's been wild.
Oh, okay. This was on OnlyFans. So, you know, for context.
That works. That's a DM.
This is one of my favorite kinds of annoying messages because you'll see what I mean.
Okay.
I have a master's in auditing and I'm very handsome. I have a problem that I'm too good at sex. I only want to seek out pleasure for my partner's satisfaction. My main complaint is, when are you going to finish? That's pretty harsh because I've been told that since high school. What should I do? I'm a whore now that I'm single and I don't feel good sleeping around. I mean, there's nothing like, it's just like, it's like a humble brag that I thought was really funny. That's not, maybe that's not the crazy.
I'm a whore now.
I like, just thought it was okay. Like, I'm just too good at sex. And people hate how good I am at sex. What should I do? Also, there was no tip attached to this. I think I responded just being free. Like, I was like, that's a pretty broad question. You should, you know, like, I was like, I'm not really sure. Like, what's the question? Like,
what do I do? I don't know. Wish yourself congratulations.
I know. I mean, that's like a very PG and mild one. Let me see if I have anything else good to show you. La, la, la.
Do you want to hear what Lola's was?
Yeah.
Lola, Dirty Lola, who y'all can check out her episode. She had a guy break up with her via a video message. Like, he canceled a date with a video message. Oh. She was like, and he was in his office. Like, imagine you getting a video and someone's in their office talking about how they can't go on a date with you.
Oh my God. People. Okay, wait. This is actually a sweet one. When I was in Vegas for AVN, my friends took me to Magic Mike XXL, which was just so fun and goofy. But I got a DM the next day. Hey, I think I saw you at Magic Mike tonight, but I didn't want to bother you and didn't come say hi. I just wanted to say I've been following your account for, you know, just a nice message. Someone saw me at Magic Mike. And I'm like, oh, what if they had, oh, I wish they had.
They're like, that's very on brand.
I know. And I didn't respond to them. I should have responded. That's a person I would respond to. I should go back.
We'll take Magic Mike free tickets if you like. For us to have an experience there. Do they still have like Aussie Down Under? We'll take tickets to all of those shows if you need audits and support.
I've heard that one is way more like machismo than Magic Mike, which is pretty like silly, I would say. It's like definitely, that's what I've heard though. I haven't been to Down Under, but I've heard that.
You know what? If you'd like to give us tickets, we will go.
I would love to go. But I guess what I'm trying to say is Magic Mike was very musical theater-y to me. It was very like...
Did you have fun?
I had so much fun, and it was so funny because like the one guy who gave me a lap dance was like in the cop outfit, and I was like, come on.
Boo.
And then what else? But outfit. Also my friends took this video and I'm just like just like stiff as a board. Like, because I'm like, this is great, but like I was also just like, I'm also like, I'm so much more comfortable being the performer than the person being performed for. And when someone else is performing, I'm just like, yay! You look so good! Look at you. I was like, I wish I was doing that.
I give compliments. Like, I love a strip club. I love to be like, oh my God, you look so great! Yes, do that spin! You landed it! People get so mad at me.
I feel like actually the two times I've been to a strip club in the last year were with you, actually. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it's true. I love a strip club. You can also invite me to a strip club with a table. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're a good bud to have at a strip club.
I love it. It's a good time. this has been so fun, and I hope other people enjoy it. They will. They're welcome. How can he, she, they, them, nim, zim, and everyone find you?
That's a great question. I'm
all of the places.
Thongria on social media and OnlyFans, Thongria, or you can search my legal name, which is attached to literally everything, Zoe Ligon, Zoeligon. Spectrumboutique.com is the shop, and you can find all our socials through the website. But if you think anything I've said, if you loved, if you hated what I said today, go. You can buy a dildo from the shop that I run with many amazing people. And send us a DM or an email if you want any help finding sex toys. Where's your butthole?
Did you tell them that?
Where's my butthole? Mm-hmm. My butthole?
Your OnlyFans. How do they find
it? Oh, yes. It's just onlyfans.com/thongria. I was like, my butthole is on my butt. It's in between my cheeks. It's not gone anywhere. It's been there this whole time.
Attached. It's attached, y'all. This is just a peek into what our lives look like. So y'all are welcome. And until next time, bye. Mwah.